Welcome to another edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, and we meet to explore new developments and new paradigms as our community emerges from a unique 2.5 years of difficult challenges and creative adaptation. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. The Port Townsend Film Festival. It happens this year from September 22nd through the 25th, as well as online through October 2nd. Our festival remains a vibrant thread woven through our community. We thought it a great idea to explore the anatomy of a film festival, especially ours, to paint a behind-the-scenes picture for our listeners. What are the moving parts that function together to make a hopefully seamless experience for those who attend our festival, physically or virtually? Our guests today are Danielle McClellan, the festival's new executive director. Danielle has worked consistently in the arts for the past 30 years. Focus on social change and civic engagement and entrepreneurship have marked all areas of her professional life. She spent several years as a consultant for multiple civic entities in the Midwest and 19 years as the founding executive director of the Buskirk Chumley Theater, a 600-seat historic film and live performance venue in Bloomington, Indiana. She grew up in Seattle and has visited family in Port Townsend regularly throughout her life. Jane Julian is our director of programming. Jane fell in love with the movies in the back seat of a 55 Chevy at the drive-in theater watching Ben-Hur with her parents and siblings. And after moving to Durango, Colorado in 1991, she was founder of the Durango Film Society. That was in 1994, which eventually morphed into the Durango Film Festival, where she was the programming director, among many other roles. After befriending Rocky Friedman and Linda Yakush at the Telluride Film Festival, she finally made it out to Port Townsend in 2008, and in 2009, Jane was asked to step in as programming director. Pam Collisey, board member emeritus and film review team captain, has volunteered for the film festival since its inception. And in 2007, Peter Simpson asked her to develop a process for screening film submissions by engaging a team of local volunteer reviewers. And she has helped to guide the process ever since. And finally, Gary Engbricht, production manager. Gary's actions speak louder than his words. Gary was supposed to be on the stage where it was inevitable that he would become a rock star. Commercial construction and commercial construction management was only supposed to be a temporary thing until the film festival world came along. And he says, so much for retirement. Well, welcome all of you to Community Tides.
Thank you so much for having us, Chris.
I'd like to start out with a question for you, Danielle. It's kind of a two-parter. One is, what inspired you to apply for the executive director position of the film festival? What vision is the team working towards? And what does that team look like?
First and foremost, I have had a LinkedIn alert on my profile for the last maybe 10 years looking for arts jobs in Port Townsend. As Chris mentioned, I went to junior high and high school. I grew up in the area in Bellevue, and my parents retired to Port Townsend in 97. So I've been coming out to visit and spending time in Port Townsend for the last 20 years. And was so amazed and excited for the opportunity to join once the position came open last year. I have always been inspired by film, first and foremost. My MFA is in screenwriting. And so the opportunity to lead specifically a film festival in one of my favorite places in the world just really has excited me tremendously. We have a fantastic team that has been gathered together over the years by Jeanette Force and all of our volunteers and staff members. There are other members of the team who are not with us today. Christy Spencer has been our director of administration for the last several years. Zach Herrig joined the team officially in March and brings a recent filmmaking degree. There are other volunteers, other operations managers. It really, I think, takes hundreds of people to put on the film festival every year.
Give us a picture of how the festival is structured. How does that all take shape in the overall way that the festival is put together?
There's really never a one point beginning for programming. And Jane Julian spends the majority of her time, I feel like, searching, hunting and gathering, as Jeanette Force described it to me as she was introducing me to Jane, hunting and gathering the best films and filmmakers and distributors who are out there, gathering those relationships, gathering the new films as they come out, and encouraging them to go through the process that Chris and Pat McFall helped invent for us and many other film festivals around the country. Gary and his team of volunteers and other various experts in the community are constantly working on what technology will serve us best. In January every year, open submissions occur where we're soliciting filmmakers to submit films through a web-based technology called Film Freeway. As those films come in throughout the spring, we're taking a look at them, we're dividing them up into categories, and then Pam is coordinating a whole group of different volunteers who are our reviewers. Then in May, we go through those films, Jane and myself and Pam and the review team, and single out what will actually be our program for the year. And about that same time, we're also beginning to figure out, what are all the special events? Who are the special guests who is going to join us? What venues are we going to use? What venues are available? Who do we need to work with to get all of the different seating and tents and food that is necessary to share with the community? We work with an artist in the community every year to create the visuals, the poster, that type of thing. Terry Tennyson is our in-house designer who puts all of that work together. And now at this point, as we go into June and July, we start to really pick up steam and begin to get all of those details nailed down.
Jane, by now, and that's counting Ben-Hur, you must have seen countless films, both on the commercial and festival screens. Your programming talents are not only in demand here, but elsewhere as well. And that's a compliment to you. What makes the Port Townsend Film Festival so special to you? And how do your travels dovetail with the reviewing process for submissions that arrive at our doorstep?
Port Townsend is the first festival I've ever been paid to work on programming. The others have all been volunteer basis, and I needed a job and I was hired thinking that it was really going to just be a one-year deal to fill in the gaps when Peter died. And lo and behold, I get the call a couple months after the conclusion, and they said, "Hey, that went really well. Do you want to do it again?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I hung up the phone and went, "Oh no, now it's all going to be on me." You know, I like to be invisible behind the scenes. And every year I think that, how am I ever going to top this last year? Because that was amazing. When the filmmakers come, the community comes out, and it's just magical to spend a weekend with Port Townsendites watching all these films and how they react to them. Travels have been different this year and last just because of the pandemic. So I actually attended more festivals than ever because I could buy an online pass or be given one as complimentary industry passes. One of the things I would say that I've been a professional couch surfer, and I just have friends in every place that I go to. And it's so great to maintain those friendships, you know, that they might not be able to come visit me, but I can go there and see a film fest as well. So I've loved that journey. And I think that that's also being able to be in different parts of the country, different parts of the world via film viewing. It gives us much more product to play with. I don't know. I've just really enjoyed the whole process.
Pam, I know you're involved with the review team with Jane and Danielle and many others. And I'm so fascinated by that process. I mean, you must have to go through so many films and really get to those final ones, I bet those conversations get complex sometimes. And I was just wondering if maybe you could give us a little peek behind the curtain of how that process works and how you all navigate to the films that rise to the top.
We have 20 to 26 reviewers. We get somewhere between 300 and 400 films a year. A lot of those are short films. Nevertheless, our main criterion is that everybody has to watch whatever films they pick all the way through. And we have generally a training. Bruce Sattendorf, who's a dean at Peninsula College and also has taught film for many years, gives us a refresher course every year. Every film has three reviews by three different reviewers. The film is rated on a number of qualities, including story, editing, acting, visuals, sound, creativity, and festival fit, scale of 1 to 5. Those average out, so the film ends up with a score. Everybody also has to write a short commentary on every film that they review, which is particularly important because with all those films and all the oddities of filming, you know, initial scoring tends to be either high or low, depending on where you're coming from. So we can look at the scores, but for example, it might be a very professionally slick film, but if reviewers don't think that it fits with our community or it doesn't have a sort of a heart, they might say, yeah, this was great, but I don't think it's right for us for these reasons. Or it may be a little rough and things aren't as polished as they could be. But in the comments, you would let Jane and Danny know that this really has something good that we think our audience would love. We have about 4 in-person or now virtual meetings a year to talk over favorites and sort of exchange. Since everybody, of course, is limited to watching a certain number of films, we like to also put together some lists of people's favorites so that other folks can watch. And then when we get toward the end, programmer and director and whoever else is involved will take a look at the scores and they'll sort themselves out with this system. But it's still kind of tricky because I think you guys would agree that we probably get more films than we can really show in the number of slots that we generally have for the festival. So there is some tough work, but we pretty much figure out what's going to generally rise to the top or sink to the bottom. Mm-hmm. By watching so many films, I think you develop a much better idea of, for me, certainly, how hard it is to make a film, because we do, I think, get a lot of folks who have never had a film shown or picked up and distributed, but it's a great way to see that. And it's also interesting every year to see what themes tend to develop. In COVID, about a year after, we had some pretty dark stuff. And after 9/11, we had dark stuff. Now this year, we're coming out of it a little bit. They're cheerier, I think, for the most part, than they have been for the last couple of years.
Well, real quickly here, Pam and Jane, you're both operating on a couple of different planes here. Jane, you're out and about, and you also see films that you encourage people to submit.
Oh, yeah.
How do those two things integrate with one another for ultimate programming? Like, for example, how many people are on the review team, Pam?
We started with 26 this year. I'd say about 20 were doing the work pretty much.
Yeah, when I get out in the world, I'm always looking for films for Port Townsend. And I work for a couple other festivals on the programming side, and more material comes my way in that regard. I would say that now Port Townsend in the last couple years is finally on the map in terms of filmmakers know about us. I've been to festivals over the years and I'll say, hi, my name's Jane. I'm programming director for the Film Fest in Port Townsend. Oh, Port Townsend, I've heard about that. You guys have that parade, right? And I'm like, how do you even know? How does this even happen? So, and filmmakers want to come back if they've come to Port Townsend with a film. They'll either make something else really quickly. Sometimes they collaborate with some other filmmaker they met here. And it's just really great to see those connections being made. And I would say that this year, it seems like we're leaning towards lighter, happier films just because we've been kind of down for 2 years. And so, I mean, it happened naturally, I think. The submissions have been more like that, I guess. But I'm happy to promote that kind of happy energy into our community for September. So, yeah, I think the films have been getting better that we get. And I'm happy about that because we don't have to search so hard to find stuff.
Filmmaking community tends to be a small town in many ways, and the word does get around. I want to bring in Gary Engbrick. Gary, so we have all these films and we have to put them on screens and we have to have venues to put them on and we have to have the technology there in order to project them and all the rest of that and the sound systems. Since I've known you, you've always struck me as a man of action, always there to handle so many of those logistical parts of the festival. Your background as a construction manager sort of speaks for itself. And from an operations standpoint, give us an overview of what it takes to make the physical aspects of the festival appear so seamless.
The job itself was presented to me as it practically does itself, which was a lie. It was just a lie. It's a massive job. It's combat. In most respects, the list of talented and enthusiastic and highly skilled people who show up, toe the line, and make this film festival what it is year-round, I would sound like somebody at the Oscars thanking everyone, including their mother. We have Miles and Sherry McRae, who bring us projection equipment. We have Walter Harris and Neville Persall, who bring us sound equipment. We have Ted Krasinski, who brings us lighting. And most importantly, he brings his deep well of theater knowledge as a grip and lighting expert. We have projectionists who are perennial. It's really quite remarkable, the people who show up to make this thing happen. I never intended to learn digital projection, but it became necessary. I've been working for Rocky, keeping the Rose and the Starlight and the Bud going since the turn of the century, which is how I fell into projection and sound in theater. But I've been theater all my life. I am a theater person, sawdust in my shoes. And it's all part of the same thing, whether it's rock and roll or stage, it's the same thing. So the principles all come together. It's an effort of volunteers and highly trained and skilled professionals. I'm just really honored to be able to learn enough to get stuff on screen and sounding as best it can and watching this technology expand and evolve over this time. Originally, we were presenting in VHS format and Super Beta and DigiBeta and actual film. It's come so far. And now with the DCP content, and I have to mention Terry Tennyson. Terry Tennyson has jumped into the fire this year. And besides making our posters, doing all of our graphics and animation and so many wonderful things that Terry has done for us over the years. Terry is now behind the wheel in Middle Earth, which is where we manipulate content. We make our DCP content, which is what our projectors eat nowadays. He is incredibly brave. Talk about courage. Anyway, I'm just part of a team and happy to be so.
Part of a hardworking team, I have to tell you that. I can empathize with you about having sawdust in your shoes because I have some in my shoes as well. Well, we want to thank our guests today from the Port Townsend Film Festival, which runs from September 22nd through the 25th, as well as streaming online through October 2nd. Danielle McClellan, Executive Director, Jane Julian, Director of Programming, Pam Collisey, Reviewer, Team Captain, and Gary Engbrick, Production Manager, and a special shout out to Chris and Pat McFall, our talented and innovative tech and development team, and all of the staff. Thank you so much. This is Chris Bricker and
Javon Canty.
See you next time on Community Tides.